Ah, yes. When you hear this music, you know what time it is. There is so much going on at Flowery Branch that we need to discuss. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. Let's waste no time and head out to the very busy WadeFord.com hotline with our man Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out Joe Patrick on Football, the new podcast covering all things Falcons and NFL. Joe, we got so much to get into. Let's make sure we hit all of it. First and foremost, what's going on with Jalen Walker? What is the level of concern?
I would say it's moderately concerning. Not necessarily this particular injury. It doesn't sound like it's too bad. Raheem Morris said that he suffered a bit of a groin injury, like literally in the last play of practice at the joint practices against the Titans on that Wednesday, the final day before the preseason game. So he was obviously held out of that game. Raheem said he was not going to be on the field today, though surprisingly he was on the field participating, or at least on the field for individual drills. Not a participant, obviously, in the contact stuff, but they said that they want to integrate him back into the practice on Wednesday, so it seems like he maybe is already ahead of schedule on that front. I just say the concerning part about it is that he's now had a couple of these issues. I believe it was a hamstring previously that was holding him out for about a week. So a little concerning about the soft tissue stuff that's happening with him and maybe some other players as well. You can kind of see it cropping up around the team. But, good news in the sense that he's likely going to be back. And I feel totally confident that he's at least going to be available for the team for that week one game.
Okay, so with that, they've made a bunch of roster moves over the last couple of days. Let's just go over them. Emory Hunt, no longer on the squad, replaced by Ben DiNucci, who I'm assuming will get some action in the final preseason game on Friday. You bring in another edge rusher. You bring in some help in the secondary. Are these all just minor moves, Joe, or anything raise your eyebrow in terms of something that could have a significant impact on the squad?
Some of them are minor. I would say most of them are minor. I think at this time you're just trying to figure out how to get yourself situated to get through this next game, because while there's been lots of debate about players not playing in preseason games, it's this third preseason game where I think you're really going to see even more guys sit out, and that means that they have to have some players who are up and available to play. And it's not just, obviously, that's kind of demeaning to say that you're just signing players to, like, be warm bodies to go out there on the field. I'm sure that there is interest from the Falcons in seeing what these players can offer, and that's the reason why they sign them and bring them into the camp and bring them in, and, you know, likely some of them are going to play in the preseason game on Friday. But I would have to imagine that that's mainly just Terry Fondo calls these kinds of like points of contact that you have with players, whether that's in, you know, the draft process or when you bring them in for workouts or whatever it is. So it just gives them an opportunity to look at them. And if they do want to place them on the practice squad, even probably not even for right now, but for later on, then that's a possibility. I would say specifically to get into some of these guys like Ben DiNucci, the quarterback, he is just coming in to help this team get through this game again, this preseason game where Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. will not be playing. Perkins, the defensive end, I think is the one that's most intriguing in terms of being a player that, you know, we could see on the practice squad down the line perhaps. And I think maybe most of all, C.J. Henderson, who the team signed last week. This wasn't one of the transactions from today, but that's a high-profile, you know, player at one point at least, having been a high draft pick, a higher draft pick than A.J. Terrell was. They came out in that same draft. And I think he's a player who, hard to say he's going to make the roster at this point, given like he just had his first practice today. But I do think that there's a reason why they wanted to go out and sign a player like him, which is maybe because there is an opportunity for a corner with some not necessarily he's a big body corner, but he's a little bit longer than some of the other guys they have, like Natron Brooks, Clark Phillips, those types of players. So I think there's an opportunity for a cornerback of that profile to ultimately be on this team. I wouldn't be surprised. Would be shocked if he's not on the practice squad, actually, C.J. Henderson. And I think he's got a chance to be on the 53-man roster.
Could that come at an expense of a guy like Clark Phillips?
Yeah, I think it could. And in fact, at this point, I would kind of already say that Clark Phillips is on the outside looking in of this whole situation in the secondary. I actually just kind of struggle to see him making the team at this point because he hasn't played, Chris. You know, like he just has not been on the field really since they got into a lot of the competitive portion of this training camp, which was, you know, kind of last week with the joint practices. And he also did not participate in the intra-squad scrimmage that the team had the week before that. He got, because that's when he suffered the rib injury that he currently has, is right before that intense scrimmage. And so he hasn't been involved in some of the best opportunities for him to really, you know, put on that competitive reps on tape. So tough for a player like him in this circumstance, but, you know, it is what it is. And it also doesn't help him the fact that, you know, it's a different coaching staff than the one that initially drafted him. So he doesn't kind of have that pull with the staff either.
What did you make of Zach Robinson's comments about why QB1 and QB2 will not be seeing any preseason action?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more of the same of what we've heard from the staff. And, you know, this is kind of led by Raheem Morris. You never know if, like, different coaches kind of have different perspectives but have to, you know, obviously follow the lead of what the head coach thinks is best strategically for the team at the time. I would say this, Chris, you know, just from having been out of practice today, I tweeted out earlier today that it was, like, a sloppy practice. I would stand behind that, at least offensively, that – you know, there was just, you know, some passes that you would expect to be completed that weren't at times. And you could just see guys just kind of dragging out there. I should say that it's the first, well, not the first practice in the heat, but they moved practice back an hour today. So it was a hotter, you know, time of day on top of it just being a hotter day in general. And it literally looked like the guys were feeling it. And so when it comes to preseason games, you know, it's the one thing I was looking at again on Twitter earlier today, Chris, and I just get this sense that, like, a lot of fans think that if they're not playing in preseason games, it means they're not getting work. You know, these guys are working extremely hard every day, and these reps that they're getting, I know it's called practice, but I mean, these are reps that go on film that determine whether they're going to make the team or not. And these are professionals that we're talking about. So they take it very, very seriously. And I think that that just kind of gets underlooked at a little bit. And I think that when you think about, like, with Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris value, you know, I think that, you know, they put a lot of value in these snaps that these players are having at practice. And so that's what they're going to be judged on. And that's just the way it is here in Atlanta under this regime.
Talking all things Falcons with our insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out Joe Patrick on Football, his podcast covering all things Falcons and NFL. When you guys put out your post-practice reports, which are very helpful, by the way, you, Mark Raimondi, Taren Walk, and you highlight the completion percentages for each quarterback during practice that you chart, I have noticed it's not alarming, Joe, but just there's been a couple of times where it's looked like Penix has missed more than a handful of throws. Is that something that has sparked your interest at all, or is it not a big deal?
I think it's less of a deal than some people, but it's not a no deal, you know? Like, I think there's definitely throws that he misses, and like today, you know, again, when I'm thinking about, like, the sloppiness of practice, I'm thinking about a couple throws that were there for the taking that just were not hit. I would say, though, that it's, you know, part of the reason why Penix's, I think, completion percentage is a little bit lower than you would hope to see out of a starting quarterback, even though some days it's very high. But like today, I think that Mark Raimondi had him charged at 10 for 17, for example, which is, again, not terrible, but maybe you could have, you know, reasonably expected maybe slightly higher percentage. It's because he's taking downfield shots. Like, this guy is trying to push the ball downfield and get big hits with his receivers. And the other aspect of this is that, from what I can recall, I think he's still only thrown one interception in this entire training camp. It was a red zone. Red zone drill and just an underthrown ball. But other than that, like, I can't remember him really throwing many. There might be one more than that I'm not thinking of. But I say that just to say that even while the completion percentage may not be what you would expect in some practices, it's not like he's really putting the ball in harm's way. And certainly I can't think of many times where there's been just, like, dropped interceptions against the defense that he's throwing to. So, yeah, while, you know, that is what it is, the completion percentage, I'm not overly fussed about it because I feel like he's still, you know, leading the offense in a responsible way. And he does hit on some of these big passes, which, Chris, like, you know, I've been covering this team since 2022, so I've seen Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ritter, and Kirk Cousins basically take the helm at quarterback for this team in training camp. And none of those three were pushing the ball downfield as much or hitting downfield as much, obviously, as Michael Penix has this camp.
So you're talking about the noodle arm quitter, DoorDash Dez, and the broke down liar, according
that's
to our.
That's just mean, Chris. That's just mean.
That's according to our good friend, John Fricke. Speaking of mean, I don't want to be mean, but backup offensive line, Joe, not good.
Yeah. And this is where I have major question marks as to, you know, who is going to be carried on this 53-man roster and maybe how many players are going to be on this 53-man roster that are not currently in this training camp right now. Because I was talking to, one of our own, Mike Johnson, during the preseason game. I was texting with him during that game on Friday night, and I was saying that, you know, I feel like the team could take their chance with just taking a reserve offensive lineman at every spot, basically beyond Storm Norton. You got Storm Norton, who's your swing tackle, even though he's been injured for the last couple of weeks with a unspecified lower body injury. And then beyond that, it's a lot of guys who have kind of been around for a while and not seemingly have progressed like we have seen Ryan Neuzel progress. That's kind of the development that you hope to see out of your reserve offensive lineman, that you can't reasonably expect every one of them, first of all, even has the opportunity to like get in games and actually supplant the players ahead of them. But I don't know. I guess you would just at least expect more from them in some of these preseason games to do some of the basics a little bit better, like get some push in the run game, especially when that's like, you know, the MO of what this football team wants to be. So, I'm curious to know how many, you know, 53-man roster spots they're going to reserve for some of those guys instead of just letting them go to waivers and then claiming them back onto the practice squad, which I'm sure they would do with quite a few of them, versus going out and, getting some guys who get dropped from other teams around the league.
So it looks like Casey Washington is a guy that's really been focused on a lot. Is it something where you feel like if Darnell Mooney can't go week one, like this guy's going to step in and get legitimate reps?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I would expect that Casey Washington, if Darnell Mooney is unavailable to play week one against Tampa Bay, which we don't know, but it certainly is within the realms of possibility as of now. I mean, like his status is very much up in the air, given the lack of, you know, transparency that we've had with regards to the injury, because the team isn't under no obligation to provide injury reports on their players or timetables or whatnot. So that being said, yeah, I mean, he is asserting himself as the X receiver for this team, you know, in Mooney's absence. And so if Mooney's unavailable to go, he would absolutely be on the field for, you know, a vast majority of the snaps, if not every single offensive snap, to be perfectly honest with you, Chris. I think it's worth specifying, like, at the receiver position, there's clearly defined roles. I know, like, you just kind of think about receivers as being receivers and, you know, one of them can play all of them, but there really are certain traits that the team looks for in each of the different roles. Those roles being the X receiver, the Z receiver, and the S receiver, which can also be a tight end, the S. But, you know, in the X, that's what Darnell Mooney is, and that's what Casey Washington would be. They want speed off the line. They want to be able to run vertically, and then they want to be able to separate off of one cut, whether that be on a dig, a post, a corner route and out, those types of things. The Z receiver, for example, like Drake London, they want him to be able to do a little bit more in terms of like finding the open gaps, and they move him in motion on the line of scrimmage. And so those just take different qualities. And I think that Casey Washington, when you look at what they're looking for in the X, he certainly does provide that athleticism, the explosiveness off the line of scrimmage. And I got to say, Chris, like I see him getting open a lot in practice. We've seen Penix connect with him a lot. But again, one of those incompletions I was thinking of today was just like, you know, it looked to me like he had Casey Washington open downfield, just overthrows him a little bit, and you just hope to see that connection happen more often. But they certainly have been connecting, and it's one of the reasons why Casey Washington has found himself in the spot that he's in.
All right, so before I let you go, we raved about Kyle Pitts at the start of camp. Haven't heard much the last couple of weeks. What's he looked like? Is he keeping up with the regiment that we saw him doing at the beginning of camp, or is he falling off?
Well, you wouldn't have heard too much kind of like screaming from the mountaintops from yours truly here. Not because I think that Pitts is a bad player necessarily, but I just always felt like he's still going to be, I think, the same role in this offense that he's had, and like his attributes have not necessarily changed. And I think that the attributes that he has is the straight line speed. He does have an ability to, when he is able to catch the ball in some shorter routes and some space, he has some ability to stiff arm defenders and then pick up yardage after the catch, which is really nice. But in general, I never saw him as being this like high volume tight end target like we see some of the top tight ends in the NFL being. And I know that maybe that it was thought that that would change when Michael Penix said, we got the ball to him a lot today after that first day of training camp. But generally speaking, I'm more of a I'll wait and believe it when I see it. And ultimately, what I've seen so far in this training camp is him pretty much being the same guy. I will say this, though, Chris. He does seem to be targeted more specifically in the red zone, which I think is good. It makes a lot of sense with a guy that has his size. You get him matched up against safeties who are smaller and just can't deal with him as easily. Have noticed him catching more of those types of balls in the back of the end zone. We saw him catch one against the Tennessee Titans, a nice one-handed catch that he was able to corral in. So I do think that there's some optimism for him in those situations.
Did I read the schedule correctly? You and Stakey on a Thursday, fastest 2 hours in sports? Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
You better buckle up, my friend.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. He lost his laptop last time we did the show on last Thursday, so it can only go up from there, I would hope, for his sake.
How did that – so he lost – were, like, all of his notes and, like, everything, so he was flying blind?
This, in the most steak fashion ever, he is apparently on his phone, like, leaving a breakfast or something, and puts his laptop on top of his car while he's getting in, and then just drives away with it on top of his car. And then the laptop was, like, on the middle of Peachtree Road.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
But it was intact, apparently. So
that's good. Is that right? Oh, wow. Yeah. You would have figured that thing would have been goner. Like, I would have lost all
well,
the farm.
It was not in great
that.
Condition, okay. But let's say the hard drive was still intact, like the black box, basically.
Oh, my goodness.
The black box of his laptop was recovered.
Well, Godspeed, my friend, and I'll be listening, and we'll check in later in the week. Thanks, Joe.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Joe Patrick there. Back to you guys now, 404-726-0929. If you didn't get a chance to weigh in on exactly what we're just talking about, Michael Penix Jr., Kirk Cousins are not playing in the preseason. It is officially official as of this morning. We all knew it, but now it's official. Do you care? 404-726-0929. Simple question, as simple as it can be. Do you care? We'll also get five true and false from O, and we'll let you hear from Zach Robinson on that decision. So a busy 7 o'clock hour coming up. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.